This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already. It's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down south now. Port Mansfield area. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to. Good morning, Rihanna. How are you, man?
Good morning, Mickey.
What's up?
Glad to hear your voice.
Likewise. That door swings both ways. What's up with you?
Oh, man. I tell you what, rods were broke this week. Lures were snapped off.
Uh-oh. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it was a good week.
A little high sticking, you know, going on.
Yeah, those little redfish, they tend to come up on you pretty quick sometimes. But
right.
Yeah, that rod had a little bit of a little bit of wear and tear on it already. I knew it was coming one day, but man, the bite this week was phenomenal. Our water temperature is climbing up close to, I guarantee you, up in the flats, it's close, pushing up to 80. NOA is reading, 75 to 78, but that's in the harbor. So water's a little bit deeper there, obviously. So, up in the flats where we're fishing, where it's primarily sand, it's getting warm. And, man, when it gets warm later in the day, that bait fish is just activated up there. I mean, we're seeing shrimp. We're seeing pinfish and lots of it. So, they're starting to ease back up shallow, after we had these several cold snaps where that water temperature dropped big time. They all kind of moved out to deeper areas, which down here, there's a lot of areas where they can go to seek cover and warmer water, and they can just come up whenever it's comfortable for them. So, man, and these trout and redfish are right behind all those pods of bait. And they're ready to eat. They're fully committing to it. And usually right after a new moon, leading to these moon phases coming up, we got a good moon phase coming up later this week. It only gets better, during mid morning, during the new moon, that bite, at least for me, this is the pattern that I picked up. The bite stays pretty consistent all morning long. It'll pick up, first thing in the morning, you'll have a good little bite, then it'll slow down for maybe 45 minutes, and it'll pick up back again, and you'll have that all the way till, a little bit afternoon, which I love. I mean, at least from Baffin to Port Mansfield, that's kind of the pattern that I've picked up around mm-hmm. a new moon. That's why I favor fishing around a new moon. It's always, those big trout are ready to come out and play. So,
that's a big difference I've seen from down that way to up here. Y'all like that darker moon, and I'm mm-hmm. I favor closer to the full moon up here for whatever reason. That's kind of, and it's different. We're a bigger, deeper, vast body of water than y'all are down there. You're mostly shallow, so
of course,
water's so cleaner too,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that strike zone is a little bit smaller, where we're fishing, and I'm fishing water just above knee deep. I always, everywhere I go, I search for that structure and that depth, mainly because that's what I'm comfortable with. And I get clients that ask me, and they'll ask me, every time they come fishing with me, how do you know when to stop? How do you know that they're here? And I'll tell them, I'll say, well, basically it's a gut feeling. Not only that, but the previous data that I've collected from fishing in areas like this, similar structure on a similar day, similar moon phase, similar wind, that all has to do with where, when, and how. I said, it's from collecting a bunch of data from being out here. Mm-hmm. You don't know until you step foot out of the boat and walk. You don't know what the bottom structure is like, and from just burning and looking, you gotta get out there and start dissecting, and being so invested like we are, you kind of have to. We're spending lots of time and money and effort on all of our equipment and boats and trucks, and it's like, man, get out there and learn the structure, learn the patterns, and once you get it down, that's one thing. Pre-fishing for the legends, we were out there every day, and you become so confident in the pattern that you've obtained from fishing every day, and then you get clients to get on your boat, and you're able to just spot on, just this is what's going to happen, and this is where it's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, here's what you need to throw. And I love that. And so my tournament partner Kim Golden, she's a guide down here in Mansfield as well, wonderful lady. I have just absolute so much respect for her. I hope she's listening, shout out to her. And I told her, I said, even after the tournament, I want to fish as much as we can on our own. I said, it's so easy for us down here. We've got, you know, the harbor's right here. My boat's in the slip. I just press a button. It goes in the water. We're gone. I said, let's take advantage of it. And I said, you know, I don't like to go out on my own, just, you know, because anything can happen out there. You just never know. For that reason, I don't like to go out alone. I'll always go with somebody, have somebody join me. So,
yeah, you know, I used to do that by myself stuff back in the day. I don't like going by myself anymore.
No, I don't either.
All my fishing buddies, they were gads, you know, and it was hard for us all to be off at the same time. You know, I'd get a cancellation or something and wanted to stay on my bite and look for new stuff, and I'd have to go by myself.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there's certain areas here in Mansfield where that phone goes into SOS mode, and I don't like that. I've got a VHF radio on my boat, but I don't want to have to just rely on that. In case something happens, and you only get to call the Coast Guard or who else might ever have their VHF on, which not many people use their VHF. A lot of these new boats don't have them.
I hadn't used one in years, man.
Yeah, I've used it once in Baffin, and it was not under a good circumstance. The boat was taking on too much water, little small vessel. And it was on a really, really windy day on a north wind. And I don't know what this boat was doing or why they were out. It looked to me like they had a small child on that boat and they had a dog. And it was in December. We had a cold front blow in either that morning or the day before. And the wind was still whipping out of the north. And he came around Claver Point, he was trying to cross Alazan and get into Baffin over by Starvation and run across that way. And I was fishing East Claver Point, and there was nobody else out there. I mean, you have to have been crazy to be out there on that day. And I even questioned myself being out there. And this little boat starts, I guess he had already made it around East Claver Point towards the bar out there, and he was coming back in, and you could just hear that little, he had a tiller on there. It was probably like a no more than a 50 horsepower tiller coming around that corner, and I thought, oh my gosh. And then he kept going in towards Coffer in that direction, and I got a phone call, and I heard somebody asked me, said, did you see that flare? And I said, oh, but I can imagine what it was. And sure enough,
you already knew. Yep.
Yeah, I turned the VHF on the channel 16 and was listening to the Coast Guard, and here they come hovering over. I mean, they came quick. It was probably like within, it had to have been within 10 minutes they came over. And I went, there was a Simmons, there was one boat that came around. It was a black Simmons, and we both headed that way and tried to get that guy that was in that boat to leave it. He would not leave his boat. He wanted to stay there with his equipment and his boat. And I told him, I said, there's nothing worth more than your life.
And exactly.
He was just stubborn, didn't want to get on anybody's boat. And so I said, I'm going to wait till the game wardens get here. They're on their way. When they get here, then I'll leave. I said, but I'm not going to leave you here. I said, I know he did not want to leave his boat. I said, man, it was just a tough situation. I hated that. It was horrible. But, you know, that's how quickly things can turn out there, you know, in conditions like that. And so VHF was the only time, that was the only circumstance where I had to, you know, get on the VHF and listen and talk on there. But,
I guess the Coast Guard got a call from him.
Yeah, I think somebody called.
Well, if he didn't
want
to leave his boat, what did he call the Coast Guard for?
I'm not too sure who called the Coast Guard, but it was quick. I think the person who called me on the phone might have called the Coast Guard first, and then because I got that phone call first about the flare, and then headed over there, and then the Coast Guard showed up. So, but it all happened real quick. I mean, that was all within 15 minutes. But that's how quickly things can turn out there in those those type of conditions. Those swells were about 4 foot out there in the middle of Alzon, and that is a really, really bad place to be when that wind is blowing hard out of the north, northeast. That day, there's a little bit of east in that wind, and so it out there, it's brutal. It was brutal. But anyways, yeah, that was a bad memory. But anyways, yeah, going back to the bite down here, you know, in certain areas, like I said, I don't like to go alone, and certain places that I do like to go, when I do have somebody to join me, you don't have service. And that's further up towards like the land cut in that area. It's hard. If you have AT&T, I don't know what it is. It's like my boat is an antenna. I'll walk back to the boat and all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. All the phone calls and texts and notifications will come in. I think the boat acts like an antenna when it's out there. Cause when I'm out waiting, it's on SOS mode, and maybe I'll have one bar, or it will say no service.
Yeah, Blaine and all them are going through that, you know, in South Texas, and they have AT&T. I go down there with Verizon, I don't have any trouble. I don't know what it is.
There's towers. Weird. I know there's towers somewhere out there, and if you have, I think I've heard if you have AT&T, it's not so bad. If you have Verizon, you'll get better service out there. It just kind of depends on what kind of service provider.
Yeah, he said they'll go in that SOS mode all the time, and then the other morning they all went into the Mexican towers across the border.
Wow.
They were getting these alerts and recordings in Spanish. He said, man, I don't know what's going on. He's about 30 minutes from Laredo, where his ranch is.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Let me knock his break out, Rihanna. I'll be right back at you.
All righty.
All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no farther than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs, and they have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied's got you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all at 281-332-6224 or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back. Thanks for holding.
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
That's good. That's good. That's a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I had bought a couple of Corky Devils a couple months back, you know, and I'm not much of a Corky Devil chunker. But I'll throw them every once in a while. Usually I'll switch out those hooks to the fangs, because I like those a little bit better. They just seem a little bit more sharp, and I don't know, I guess it's maybe a visual thing too, but I had one laying on the table for a long time, probably, let's see, it's been since like October. It's been laying there, so it's been quite a few months. And I thought, man, you know, I just want to give that a try. You know, I've been throwing a lot of soft irons, of course, a lot of the little Johns. And of course, you know, it's like three colors, you know, golden brim, watermelon, gold glitter, and either June bug or purple demon. And then the soft irons kind of depends on the water clarity. One color that has been working really well is Bone Chartreuse custom corgi.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's, you bet.
Yeah, it's a really pretty color. I love that one. And so I thought, you know, let me switch it up a little bit and see if maybe they want something a little bit more with a little whippier tail. You know, that Corky Devil is a little bit, to me, it seems a little lighter. It's easier to work through shallower water where you have grass on the bottom, you know, the lower column, there's a little bit of grass floating on top. You know, you can just really jig that thing through the middle column wonderfully. And with just one treble hook, you're not hooking in to a lot of grass like you are with a corky or a soft dine.
Right.
So, I had my mind set on that Corky Devil, the black, it's got a black top, orange bottom, kind of shimmer right in the middle, gold, orange shimmer. I love that color. I love that color in the soft dine too.
And the old 808 mirror lure spectrum right there.
Yes. That's, I don't think they have the name on the little tag. I know it has like numbers on there, but yeah, that color, I've had a lot of luck with that color in Baffin and in Mansfield.
Well, that bait always worked good for us, Rihanna, when you had to really slow everything down and entice fish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a finesse bait that you just slowed everything down. But, boy, back in the day, we caught some monster trout on that bait, no doubt.
It's a great color. And when that sun is out, like it has been, that gold little shimmer on the side, I mean, I can see it 30 yards in front of me, you know, when I lift it up and you know, jig it up in the upper column and it flashes. I mean, I can see it way out there. I know those fish can just absolutely see it right in front of them, you know, and I'll slow it down in those little potholes and just kind of, I like to really slow down my retrieve in those potholes and let it fall to bottom.
No doubt.
But first thing in the morning, I mean, it was like, I want to say we started at 7:30, and of course, by the time you get out to the harbor, out of the harbor and out there, you're fishing 8 o'clock. But first thing in the morning, I mean, bait was flicking everywhere. Birds, you know, you had seagulls just out there, you know, floating in little pods. You had pelicans hovering. I mean, we've seen plenty of osprey too diving, and whenever you see those osprey, man, I love watching them work and dive down for the mullet, and they pick up, and they're usually picking up pretty big size bait or fish. So, I was throwing that devil in those little potholes, and I just had a lot of confidence with it. I knew, you know, when I get a gut feeling about a lure, a good feeling about it, I'm just absolutely, you know, honed in on, this is going to produce a good fish, and I know it. I believe it. I feel it. I stick with it.
Yeah.
And so, sure enough, I mean, this trout smoked it, and she came up, danced, everything. She was right at 7 pounds, and the mouth on her, you could put your whole fist in her mouth. That's how big her mouth was, but totally choked it down. That's the only bad thing I don't like about those devils, and they will choke it down.
Oh, they will. You're definitely going to deep hook them with it.
Fully committed bite. And so, you know, of course, the majority of time when they come up and shake like that, they're doing it because they've got something in them that they're trying to get rid of. And they come up and just shake and do all that fun stuff. And at the same time, I feel bad about it because I hate hooking them in the gill plate and, you know, having to. Luckily, she didn't bleed or nothing. She kicked off just fine, but it was a fully committed bite. And, gosh, it was, you know, first thing in the morning just to kick off the morning just right. And
the thing is, with that bait, they suck it in head first, and that treble hooks on the head. And they get
there's
it.
No, yeah, unlike the soft dines or corkies where there's one in the back, too, where it can kind of stop it.
Right.
That one, that devil doesn't have that. But, you know, if I'm looking for a fully committed bite, that's kind of why I switched to that Corky Devil, because I was just ready for a big bite, and I wanted a fully committed one that was, she was going to suck it in and be hooked and done deal. And so it happened.
They do that a lot, too, with that broken back Corky.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I haven't thrown one of those in a long time. I've got one sitting on my table too, and I haven't thrown it. But that's a little bit of a heavier bait too. I guess it's a lot of times it's preference too on what the weights that we like with those lures. You know, I like something a little bit lighter because of how shallow of water that I'm fishing, you know, and sometimes those soft lines, they just, you know, and of course I always keep my rod tip up and I'm just, you know, I really just try to let that soft line just jerk around in that middle column. And, you know, of course sometimes you just get a little impatient or you let it fall a little bit too much and it digs down in that turtle grass. And then that turtle grass is thick over here.
Yeah, it is.
It's healthy.
Carpet.
it's carpet grass, saltwater carpet grass. And man, when you get stuck in there, it's you're tugging away trying to get it out. But most of our big bites have been in those little potholes. And of course you'll walk across them and you'll step down about 5 to 6 inches down in those little potholes. So they're just kind of sitting in there, you know, and when that sun comes out, that's a really great thing about these sunnier days. You can really, really see the structure well and cast deliberately around them and in them and, you know, right behind them and just, you know, slowly work it in that pothole. Days whenever, you know, we had those cold fronts, it was overcast, it might have been a little drizzly or whatever, it's a little harder to see that. And you can still kind of see it, but not as clearly as you can on a sunny day. And the last couple of days, it has felt like spring. Yesterday, I think it got up to about 88 degrees here.
A screenshot of his truck yesterday at his ranch, 100 degrees on the high ground up there. Man,
unbelievable.
Y'all are warm down there, unseasonably warm.
It feels like we skipped through winter and we just went straight to spring.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It throws me off, you know, because I had Jimmy Buffett playing. The sun was out. It was hazy. It was hot. And I said, gosh, it feels like we're about to go into summer. It was really weird
messing with the fish, too, you know.
You got to know.
The world is happening here.
Mm-hmm. I know. And we've got a little cold front coming Wednesday night, and it's going to blow till probably midday Thursday.
You've been getting a lot of fog down there?
Yes,
yeah,
a lot. As a matter of fact, it's foggy here right now.
I feel like we live in London.
Yeah, well, you know, when that water temperature is warmer than the air temperature, it seems like that's typically what happens. And there's some really thick patches of fog. I try not to drive in the morning when it gets like this because it can get really bad down here.
Yeah, but no need risking life and limb to go catch a speckled trout.
No.
We have before, though. All right, yeah. Rihanna. Well, hey, look, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you, Mansfield or Baffin, you do them both. How do they get a hold of you? Give them some info how they can hook up with you, girl.
You can give me a call at 361-296-5400. I've got some days available here in February to fish Mansfield. And if you want to hit up Baffin, March is the time to do that. So give me a call.
All right. Well, hey, catch me about an 8 or 9 pounder this week and send me a picture of it.
Hopefully on Friday.
Okay.
I'll send you out. Alrighty.
Hey, we'll see you. Always fun. See you, Rihanna. Take care.
I'll see you at the Houston Fishing Show.
All right. See you later. All right. That's Rihanna De La Cruz. Oh, man, time is flying on by this morning. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, their bait's as good as it can possibly be. There's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display there at the store. If you need more info, call Jason at 281-701-8107. When you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp. There's no farm raised at Boyd's, and I don't know whether their Super Bowl special is still going on their big 9-12 count, but they've had a good deal going. So if you want some for a party today, check them out. Give them a call. And crawfish season's full swing. Boyd's has been having plenty of crawfish for you, so call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:38 here in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Richland Chambers Reservoir and talk to our good friend, Mr. Royce Simmons, and see how them fish are biting up there. Hey, Royce, what's up, bud?
Good morning, Mickey. Good to talk to you.
How you doing?
I've been doing good. You know, in the guide business, this is kind of our, if you have a downtime of the year, it's definitely the couple of months that you kind of recoup, get things ready, and wait on springtime for another week or two. And this year we didn't have to wait very long. Although I think it's going to be winter in the next 2 days. But boy, what the last 10 days have been is just totally unusual. It was 86 degrees when I looked at the truck thermometer yesterday afternoon. So
crazy,
kind of wild.
February,
good news.
Early February too.
You know, I look back last year because, you know, we're always, again, February is about the slowest as you get, still doing some catfishing and catching a few whites and hybrids along. But mid-March when spring break occurs kind of is the kickoff of our season. And I look back last year and on my pictures on my gallery, we had our first full box of white bass in late February. So I guess we had a little warm-up last year, and those fish, some of which never made it up the creeks to spawn, were out on that main lake, you know, just ready to bite and still full of eggs, which they eventually laid. But this may be another year like that. I hadn't seen a really long forecast, but what I've seen, it says more warm than cool and more dry than wet. So we'll see.
Well, the white bass, I'm hearing a lot about them right now, you know, in the creeks and sloughs and all that off the rivers and all that. So it's coming.
I'm sure they're up the Richland and Chambers arm of our lake, because we had about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks ago, our lake was down 2.5 feet below full pool level. We had a 6 to 7 inch rainfall in that watershed just north and west of us. And as of today, we're 2 or 3 inches above full pool with a couple of gates open on the spillway. So we got our spring rain, like we said, early, and the lake's in just awesome position to, you know, have a great spring and summer. We'll just see what the white bass think about it. But I fished Tuesday, Thursday, did a Thursday afternoon trip with a gentleman, and one of your listeners and one of my longtime customers, he came up and fished Thursday afternoon and again on Friday morning, and totally three different types of trips. Slick lake, water coming into the lake and so forth. We went way up the Richland arm to the timber and using our punch bait, catching eater size blues and channels, and really had kind of a tough day on Tuesday, no breeze and whatever. So between that trip and Thursday afternoon, I put out some bait buckets. Hadn't had to use that because we just had such good bite going. And I'm glad I did, because on Thursday the wind blew probably 20, 25 miles an hour most of the afternoon. So we were fishing baited shoreline spots, and put a limit of catfish in the boat on both Thursday. And then Friday morning, I heard you and the young lady talking about fog. Friday morning, we had fog that hung around till 11 o'clock.
Goodness.
And I don't like to run in the fog, even though there's no one on the lake hardly except you and maybe another boat or two. But luckily, my bait buckets I'd put out were not that far from the marina, and all I did was get on my trail from the day before, and we put another limit of, again, not big fish, but two maybe biggest fish, 4 or 5 pound blues in the box on Friday morning. So we made lemonade out of lemons, and even sandwiched in about probably 30, 45 minutes of white bass on Thursday afternoon, hiding from the wind, and caught some whites and a few. All the hybrids we caught were small hybrids, but they've even turned on. So I don't know. We may be off and running already and just having an early spring, but we'll see what Mother Nature does the next few days.
Well,
What are they talking about on Livingston and Conroe? They're just finding fish, main lake and creeks?
Yeah, that Major League Fishing was here last week. And man,
that's right.
Everybody was up, you know, up the creeks, and that's where all the bass were coming from. I saw where a Sierra Lunker Legacy bass was caught in Richland Chambers a week or so ago.
Yep, Sunday 2 weeks ago, I believe it was now.
2 weeks, yeah, it's time.
Yeah. Young man, teenager, was pre-fishing for, they do several high school tournaments now.
Right.
We don't get the big BASS and stuff, but you got a lot of the smaller local tournaments, and this one was no tournament. He was just out practice fishing, and as the story goes, he was over off the flats, kind of on the North Shore line where that water comes up out of deep 50-foot main lake and bumps and humps and stuff. And he was using a forward-facing stuff and said what he thought was a great big blue cat down on the bottom and started pitching his bait toward it, and he took it. And he still didn't realize until he got that fish right at the top that he had a 13.6 something. So
it was a monster.
Monster, and had him share a lunker. They came and picked him up from Athens, which is, you know, only 30-45 minutes from us. But he caught that fish, and the rest of the stats is that the last share lunker on our lake was 2008. So that was a long drought in between. But I tell you what, I just still don't see the amount of pressure from bass fishing guys, but I'm seeing a little more over the last year or two, just because, I mean, it still takes a 25-30 pound stringer to get in the money on whatever size tournament you're fishing. So the folks that figure it out, there are some nice fish there, but the big old lake, it still fishes tough for the first or second time comers. It's just so big to try to pattern, I guess.
Right. Well,
whites and hybrids, we're in for
a lot of good bass sacks come from Richland, you know, good solid size fish, you know.
Well, it's just the little local lake paper that comes out every week or two, the Chambers Bass Club has an article in it, and they're always showing the stringer that won it and the big fish of the tournament. And inevitably it's 8, 9, sometimes a double digit fish, not too often, but a lot of that 7, 8, 9 pound fish in there. So again, some of the folks have figured it out a little bit better. The gals really like grass on the lake, and we just don't have a whole lot. So what little there is, I know it gets pounded pretty hard on those tournaments. Boathouses and grass. So, but we're sticking with catfish in the winter time, and have had a really good fall and winter. And the last couple of years, our hybrid population, it just was really helped out with stocking numbers that we've never had. So I'm looking forward to another good March, April, May, June artificial lure or hybrid bite, which is what we do. And the live bait folks, they get them all summer long, but we still haven't convinced ourselves, and I'm too old anymore to change that we need to go to the live bait. So we keep it simple with the lures and stuff. But it's been a good run for this last year, and looking forward to this year now with a full lake already. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it's hard to believe it came up 2 feet just like that.
It literally, over a week's period, the Chambers Creek, I know it wouldn't make any sense just throwing out a number, but as a way of trying to measure, it flows at about 6 feet level on the marker. And over that 24-hour period, it went from 6 feet to 27 feet and then stayed that way about probably 36 to 48 hours. So over a couple of day period, we fill that lake completely up. And then I guess it was either Tuesday or Thursday this week when I was coming behind the dam, I said, oh, man, there were a couple of gates open. You hate to see that water being released now, because you know in about 2 or 3 months you're really going to want it. But
you may want that water, exactly.
Nah. It's like the water people told me years ago when I called and complained a little bit about having gates open in February or March because we're going to need it in June or July. I probably told you this. They said, Simmons, why don't you stick to catching fish and let us run the water department?
There you go. I knew that was coming.
Yeah. He told me, and rightfully so, they got to regulate water statewide with rivers and creeks and lakes. So, I'm selfishly looking at one big lake right in the middle of the state, and they're looking at the whole water system. So
I wish I could had a hotline. I could call Livingston, tell them to turn that water off up there. They've been killing me the last 8 or 10 years, man.
I'm sure right now it's kind of ugly because the Trinity, when I'd come across it last week, a certain day or two, it was right at coming out of its banks. And then I noticed Friday when I went back home, it was – not back to normal. It's still flowing pretty briskly, but it kind of has a lot of water that comes from north to south.
Oh man, and Livingston, they opened them up this past week. They're up to about 21.6 right now,
and wow,
which is not enough to wipe out all of my bay, but it sure messes up that north end that I like to fish this time of year.
Our lake is so big, and those creeks run so far from the little lakes that feed them to the north and the west that I moved up the Richland Arm on Tuesday of this last week to start my fishing week, and it was stained. It wasn't muddy.
Right.
But when you get to the main lake still, over the years, I bet I've only seen it a half a dozen times where you could call the main lake stained, and it's just as clear right now as it's normal. But it's right. So big a lake that you can fish whatever you want to fish. And those catfish, you know, I think one of the reasons they got a little tough way up the creek for me this past week was I think they've even gone way much farther up. A lot of the folks that are little bank fish or got a flat bottom boat say, if I can get up in that 2 foot of water way up the chambers or the Richland Arm, they can catch those bigger cats in that flowing, you know, shallow water. But I can't get up there in the boat we got, and not going to attempt it. So we just we do structure fishing mainly.
Well,
I don't know a whole lot more other than the fishing's good.
Wanted to ask you, you still have the Channel Cat record?
You know, I looked probably about a year ago, just out of curiosity, and I still do. I'm guessing somebody's probably caught a bigger one because it. You know, as far as channel cats go, it was a 12 something. That's not real big. Some of these lakes up here, Palestine and Fort, got a 20-pound lake record channel. But yeah, that fish is still in the books as far as rod and reel. But I hadn't caught anything close to it that big. A big channel for us, 4 or 5 pound fish.
Yeah,
you know, because we're normally catching those pound to 2 to 3 pound blues and channels and throwing them in the ice chest, but we talk about that occasionally.
Yeah, another text came in wanting to know he wants to come in white bass fish, and he said he wants to do it for 2 or 3 days, and would like to know what the best time period you would recommend.
Absolutely, Kent. And if you looked at our calendar, you'd see where it's at. But it's April, May. I've got, I think I booked all my weekends by end of the year on April and May. And I've got just a handful of weekdays between my son and I still open. But the only thing you deal with, you know this, in April and May is weather. Because it'll usually get you a little bit, that wind and those thunderstorms. But when it breaks loose, and we keep our fingers crossed that it breaks loose by about mid-March when school's out and spring break's happening, because that's when our business really kicks in gear. It can be that good that early, but, boy, April, May is just it's slab fish, it's rattle trap fish, it's whatever you want to throw, but it's not the top water that people like, and that's more the middle of the year, June, July, August. And it's, you know, it's not a given everyday type deal, but it's top water more then, and it's slab fishing and you know, just about anything you want to throw at them in April and May if you get a little shad chasing. But it's hard to beat. And then as we've talked over the years, my absolute favorite's October, November, because you get back to cool weather and you usually have a late year kind of coup de grace on the whites. They take off again
flurry,
and
man.
Take you to the end of the year. Yeah,
they start foraging for the winter, and top.
They're full of eggs right now. Yeah,
don't you like that tiny torpedo the best? Don't you use that a lot?
You know, it kind of depends on our customer. If I've got someone that, like yourself, could handle a bait caster and whatever, I'll just tell them to leave that slab on there, run it across through them, jig it up and down, see what depth they're at and whatever. If they're on top, though, I prefer to use a light bait with a spinning reel or whatever, something maybe an inline MEP spinner with just one hook, one set of trebles. But if I've got kids and stuff, I'll get the Zebcos out and the closed-faced reels and put a torpedo or whatever, because All you got to do is twitch it if you get them out there schooling right in front of you. And then
put the old pencil sharpeners on them.
it's a hoot.
That's piranha fishing right there when they get schooling like that.
It varies from year to year, though. This last year, we did not have the topwater bite that we'd had the year before. And I don't know. I know it all depends on conditions and stuff. But once you hit, August, July and August, this weather report's pretty much the same every day. But those fish, they vary from day to day, especially the other elements. You got a weekday with very few folks out on the lake and people that can work a acre or two of school of fish and do it the right way, you kind of just stay on them. But on a Saturday, everybody gets excited and they run through the middle and there goes your fish.
Yeah, I know.
And that's why we keep a rod with a slab on it. They don't do that on the coast, do they?
Sometimes, yeah. All right, buddy. Well, Roy, it's good talking to you. If somebody wants to get Adam, come up and fish, give them some info how they reach you.
That's easy. And again, if they're thinking springtime, you better give us a call in the next few days, because we still got a lot of between now and middle of March and fishing and to do, but the calendar is getting full. But it's easy, 903-389-4117. And still the same old web, gonefishing.biz.
That's B-I-Z. All right, buddy.
Well, I appreciate the time, Mick.
All right, enjoy your Super Sunday. Talk to you next week.
I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Take it easy, man.
Yeah, the Cowboys and Texans won't be playing today. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.